As I understand Ajahn Sumedho in the Sounds of Silence and Stephen Batchelor, they do not believe in rebirth or reincarnation in literal sense. What is your belief and understanding in regards to this? Stephen in particular says this is a holdover from the society that the Buddha was born into and not really his teaching. He also comments that the Buddha was more interested in creating a new civilization than individual enlightenment. Please comment. Well, one of the things is, and this is where it's really helpful to go back and study suttas as opposed to commentaries, as opposed to later explanations and additions. To get a feel for how the Buddha taught and what the content was of what he taught. And as one becomes familiar and steeped in the teachings, then you see, well, the Buddha was a radical, independent teacher who had a very clear overview, one of what he was trying to do and of what liberation and the path to liberation was. And to sort of think that he would teach something just because it was, say, popular in the society or that it was a tradition to do it. I don't think that's how his mind functioned. He was really questioned things very, very deeply, and his teaching kind of it displays that, and that that sense of creating a new civilization. I think the Buddha was not interested in a new civilization because it didn't matter what civilization it is. It's not usually very civilized unless there's enlightened beings. So that emphasis is much more on that, on path to liberation. That being said, I mean, he also understood the dynamics of human society, and he was extremely skillful and astute in being able to live within the society and bring his teaching into that society in a way that it would really transform it. And many of the ways that the teaching and the say the religion, the movement of the Buddha unfolded was not random and just happenstance. The Buddha knew what he was doing. So that if one reflects on the story of the Buddha, and that he's enlightened under the Bodhi tree, and he thinks at first, oh, what's the point of teaching? That's just going to be, nobody's going to get this. But then, of course, compassion comes in, and they say, okay, yes, I should teach. But then, you know, to teach, then you've got to actually have somebody who can listen or understand. So then you say, well, I'll teach those five ascetics who trained and lived with me. And then he has intuitive powers. And he said, where are those five ascetics? Well, they're off in Sarnath, near Varanasi. That's over 200 kilometers. Buddha packs up his gear, you know, and walks. You know, it's a long walk. He was putting forth the effort to do that. He arrives there. He teaches those five ascetics. They become enlightened during that period of the rainy season that he's there. People from and in particular, a very wealthy young man with a good family comes out and listens to the teachings. And then, of course, word starts spreading. Wow, there's this really young teacher who's teaching something really fresh and new. By the end of that rainy season period, by the accounts, and there were 60 arahants. And then the Buddha, at the end of that time, then he said to all of them, you know, you've understood this teaching, you're independent in the teaching, you're liberated, everybody go out in a different direction, and don't go in pairs, don't go in groups. And go for the welfare and happiness of the many folk. And it's just to give that as an offering to others. He said, I'm going back to Gaya Sisa, which is, it's near Bodh Gaya, but it's where, at that time, it was the most, say the most respected teacher, ascetic, in the kingdom of Magadha, which was the most powerful kingdom in India at the time. So Buddha goes there. There are three brothers. Within a period of, it took them probably a couple months of association and breaking through the resistance that they had, but they had a following of with these three brothers and their following is about 1,000 ascetics, and that's in the fire sermon, which is one of the suttas that we chant, then it's that teaching that the Buddha gives that was the cause of their enlightenment. So this is still his first year. This is still his first year. He's got 60 arahants out wandering, teaching. Now he's got the most respected religious teacher in the largest kingdom in India. Now he goes into Rajgir, which is the capital city of Magadha, and he goes to visit the king. Well, pretty soon he's got the king and his ministers and the kind of the retinue. So, like within a year, he's sewed up a huge network of support and momentum for his teaching to really spread through the society, so that the Buddha was he knew what he was doing, and he had the barami, the accumulated virtuous qualities, to be able to do it. So that he understood the limitations of any civilization, but he also recognized that, you can use the conventions of a society in order to enhance it or to make it a better place to live.
Briefly about Ajahn Sumedho. I'm not sure if, just so that people may not get the wrong understanding, I'm not sure if he would have said it quite like that. He might have said something like, just expressed ambiguity around it, but normally Ajahn Sumedho doesn't come down like he doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't make really kind of definite
That's true,
statements actually about belief about anything usually.
Because he would say, because he'll call you up on any belief.
You say you believe in it or you don't believe in it, he'll call you up on it.
Good clarification.